scheme, which is appointed under the affirmation of commitments. And just while we're getting the slides up on the screen, what I'd like to do is ask each member of the review team who's sitting up at the table to just very briefly introduce themselves, who you are. Each of us comes to the review team in our personal capacity, and we also have quite rigorous rules about conflicts of interest, and we've all agreed with each other that we will be representing the global interest, the community interest, rather than our own, be there fighting for our own constituencies. But I thought it might be interesting or useful for you to know who we are and where we come from. So, Michael, can I start with you?
My name is Michael. Okay. You can take it. Yes. My name is Michael Yakushev. I used to be the chairman of the Russian CCTLD Coordination Committee, responsible for managing Russian domain names .ru and .rf, the first Cyrillic IDN. And I was nominated to the review team by Rod Backstrom. Thank you.
Wilfried Weber, employed by Vienna University in Austria. My interaction or my relationship with ICANN is I'm long-standing one of the co-chairs of the RIPE database working group. RIPE is the organization managing the resources, IP addresses, AES numbers in Europe and some other regions around Europe. And I am a long-time member of the address supporting organizations on the Address Council, and I'm in this team by way of the Address Council, by way of the ASO. So, Lutz, next.
My name is Lutz Donnerhager. I'm from At Large. I'm here for personal purposes and hope that we all get a good and valuable result in November.
Kathy Kleiman, I'm director of policy for .org, the public interest registry, and hence I hail from the registry stakeholder group in the GNSO. And I'm finding it absolutely fascinating to work not only within the GNSO, but across the entire community, and now with the ASO and ESAC and GAC and the many other communities that have interest and opinions and directions on WHOIS.
I'm Emily Taylor, chair of the WHOIS review team. My background, I've been nominated to this by the CCNSO, reflecting that I've spent 10 years in the CC space for .UK. I'm currently a freelance, and I'm also a member of the Internet Governance Forum Multi-Stakeholder Advisory Committee, or the IGF MAG in short, which is also a multi-stakeholder group.
I'm Lynn Goodendorf. I'm serving on this review team as an independent expert, and I own a consulting practice in data privacy and data security. The name of my company is Good Security Consulting.
Hi, I'm Susan Calgucci. I'm domain name manager at Facebook, and I am representing the CSG.
I'm Bill Smith with PayPal. I'm a technology evangelist there. My responsibilities are to represent PayPal at internet governance organizations like ICANN, et cetera. I've got a technical background, and I'm serving as an independent expert.
Hi, I'm James Bladel, and I was nominated by the GNSO Registrar Stakeholder Group. I'm employed by GoDaddy.com, and I'm serving multiple concurrent sentences on various PDPs, review teams, and drafting teams and other working groups.
Can I just ask Gary to introduce yourself as well? Gary Kibbe is from the UK Serious Organised Crime Agency and is our super sub for one of our team members. Oh.
Yeah, my name's Gary Kibbe. I feel a bit of a fraud putting myself forward near this group. You'll see on the screen there's one law enforcement representative representing the interests of global law enforcement. That person is actually my boss, Sharon Lemon. Unfortunately, in London at the moment, we have an e-crime congress where we've got 30 different law enforcement countries coming to the UK. So unfortunately, she can't be here. So I'm really sort of proxy representation for Sharon's interests. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Gary. We also have a member of the GAC, Peter Nettlefold. For some reason, he's unable to be with us just at the moment. I think you can guess why. And we've had a couple of members who've been unable to travel to this meeting. So that's us. And then the next slide. So just a bit of background, because I'm sure this is familiar to you all, but just in case it isn't, the affirmation of commitments between ICANN and the US government required ICANN to undertake a number of independent reviews, the first of which was the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, and there are others looking at security and stability. Was also singled out for independent review under the affirmation of commitments, and this is what we are. So we are not a PDP. We are not making policy. What we're doing is really looking at the state of who is and the you know what is happening in who is at ICANN, and looking at the extent to which it's effective and meets the needs of law enforcement and promotes consumer trust. We'll get onto the nitty-gritty substance, but I just wanted to make that quite clear at the outset. So, as well as what we are, we thought it would be useful to explain to you how we have agreed amongst ourselves to work, and that is with full transparency. So, our conference calls, which we have every couple of weeks, are open to silent observers. If any of you want to join, you'd be very welcome. If you don't, we understand. We have our face-to-face meetings at all of the ICANN meetings this year are scheduled, and those are open again to the public, to silent observers. Our email archives are published, and we have a public wiki space, which I do encourage you to look at, because there is a wealth of resources there, a lot of the background of what's been going on in who is in the subject area amongst the different constituencies over the years is published there, as is the sort of working papers and where we're at the moment. So it's always a good snapshot to see where we are. We're very much promoting community feedback, which is one of the reasons why we're all delighted to see so many of you here today. And we have been using this early meeting in our cycle to get also, as well as this meeting, to get around to as many of the constituencies as we could to just get, you know, to highlight the fact that we exist and to ask for sort of feedback and to ask people to point us in the direction that they want us to focus in. We have also published our deliverables and a calendar. So the scope of work and roadmap was adopted by the group in January, and it was drafted quite tightly in line with the section of the affirmation of commitments which deals with us. Alice, I don't know whether we're able to get the scope of work up on the screen, are we? Thank you. So I will just read that out. Oh, nice. So the first is just a preamble saying that we're constituted under the affirmation of commitments, and so this next bit is the substantive bit. The Who Is review team is to assess the extent to which existing Who Is policy and its implementation is effective, meets the need of the legitimate needs of law enforcement, and promotes consumer trust. The next section tells you about how we intend to fulfil this. We will undertake an analysis and determination of ICANN's performance against the AOC requirements, that it implements measures to maintain timely, unrestricted, and public access to accurate and complete Who Is information, including registrant, technical, billing, and administrative contact information, and enforces its existing policy relating to Who Is, subject to applicable laws. Next, we talk about the way that we're going to approach it, which is evidence-based, seeking to identify good practice in other areas of the domain space, maybe as a benchmarking tool, and then some examples of what this could include. Perhaps IP addresses, maybe ccTLDs where relevant, and also in consultation with supporting organisations and advisory committees, as well as the larger community. Now, sorry to spend a little bit of time on that, but I do think it's important. We then set out a roadmap which details a whole host of things that we may do in order to fulfil this task. So, there are some key terms, if we go back to the presentation, both in the affirmation of commitments and in our scope of work, which we need to, we felt as a preliminary measure we needed to get a shared understanding of. James, come on in.
Sorry, I just wanted to point out that we've been joined by another one of our colleagues, and maybe he can introduce himself.
Oh, sorry,
as well.
Omar.
Omar.
Oh, Samad.
Omar
is
Samad.
Samad is back there.
Yeah. Do you want to just introduce yourselves to Samad too?
I'm Omar from Brazil. I'm part of La Caralo and a member of the review team.
Thank you. Samad?
If you want to, there are seats right up here in front, or we can put seats in front. But just because you're sitting out there doesn't mean you don't get to answer the questions with us.
Okay. So our plan for today is really just to bring you up to date as quickly as we can with what we're doing, and then to throw the floor open so that we can get as much feedback from you as possible. A lot of our work over the last months has been in defining key terms in the affirmation of commitments and our scope.
Is it possible to get the affirmation of commitments up and show them what it is?
Sure.
Is the affirmation of commitments available? Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Sorry. It occurs to me that showing you what 9.3.1 says in the affirmation of commitments might be very useful, because it is really what we're wrestling with. We're the first review team under the affirmation of commitments since they were signed September 30th, 2009, between ICANN and the U.S. Department of Commerce, for anyone who doesn't know the background on that. We are the second review team. Well, the security and stability review team is going through in parallel with us, but James was on the accountability and transparency review team, which has reported out. You can see I'm going to keep talking until the affirmation of commitments comes up on the screen. But where these definitions come from is what you should know, because we found that these definitions, these terms, applicable laws, law enforcement, consumer, are very, very obvious to each one of us, and our definitions are all different. And so, and a lot depends on where we're coming from and what we do and what our perspective is. So we were actually sitting at SOCA's offices at an undisclosed location in London, working through this, and it was fascinating to be there in January. So let's share the text with you, and then you'll know why we're asking you for definitions of what seems to be such clear and common and normal terms. That's a little sarcasm.
Thank you very much, Alice, getting that up on screen for us. So this is the relevant paragraph. I don't know if that's at all readable.
You could read it.
Do you want me to read it out? ICANN additionally commits to enforcing its existing policy relating to who is subject to applicable laws. Such existing policy requires that ICANN implement measures to maintain timely, unrestricted public access to accurate and complete WHOIS information, including registrant, technical billing, and public access to accurate and complete... administrative contact information. 1 year from the effective date of this document, and then no less frequently than every 3 years thereafter, ICANN will organise a review of WHOIS policy and its implementation to assess the extent to which WHOIS policy is effective and its implementation meets the legitimate needs of law enforcement and promotes consumer trust. So that is the core phrase which is reflected again in our scope. I think the key points to note are that the WHOIS review will take place every 3 years. So it's an ongoing obligation. The rest of it just says that we're volunteers and that we will be appointed by the head of the chair of the GAC and the ICANN CEO and include representatives from various constituencies, as you've heard. Okay. So as Kathy said, our first work has been to identify what we think is meant by these key terms which are so fleetingly mentioned and undefined in the affirmation of commitments. I think that law enforcement is probably first. Fabulous. Thank you.
The slides are a little stuck.
We have a... Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's look at what we have got. Thank you. So applicable laws, which is one of these phrases that crops up, we believe means or includes... Ah, there we go. Law enforcement. Yay. Law enforcement shall be considered to be an entity authorised by government and whose responsibilities include the maintenance, coordination or enforcement of laws, multinational treaty or government-imposed legal obligations. So I think the points to note in that and that some of the hard-fought terms in that is that this is not organisation-specific. It is looking more at function, recognising that law enforcement can be government or it can be authorised agencies. But... there is a difference, we felt, between the law enforcement in this sense and those who are enforcing sort of private rights, if I could put it like that, in that law enforcement are doing stuff on behalf of the government or on behalf of the people. That is, I'm sure members of the team will contradict me if I get that wrong. So that is the first term that we would like to discuss with you today. Shall I whip through the terms and then we can go back and have a free form discussion? The next is applicable laws, which includes any and all local and national laws that regulate or control the collection, use, access, and disclosure of personally identifiable information. And then it goes on to sort of set some frameworks. But I think that the important thing to note in this is that it is limited to laws that, or it is focused on laws that are relevant to personally identifiable information in the context of the WHOIS, rather than trying to boil the ocean and include absolutely every law. And that seemed to us relevant under the WHOIS. And the next term is consumers. So we've got these key terms, law enforcement and promoting consumer trust, as the two things that the affirmation of commitment wanted us to look at. So we've spent quite a lot of time thinking about what is meant by a consumer. There isn't a single... universally agreed definition of consumer. However, often it is a term that identifies individuals, usually who aren't trading and not organisations. However, we were aware that if we had defined the term law enforcement fairly narrowly, we had also defined the term applicable laws to focus on issues relating to data collection and private individuals. And therefore, what we're proposing is a fairly broad reach in the term consumer. Basically, because all of these definitions, what are we going to do with them? We want to assess this policy in the light of what we think these terms mean, and we do not want to miss anything that is relevant in the WHOIS space. So our definition at the moment that we're putting out for public comment is, in the global sense, consumer means all internet users, including natural persons, commercial and non-commercial entities, government and academic entities, so, you know, wide. And then specifically within the context of this review, with regard to who is data and who is service, may mean any consumers that act as a producer, maintainer, or user of who is. And these are terms, again, that we've defined. You see, we've spent quite a lot of time thinking about what these terms mean. So if we can look at what we mean by the terms producer, maintainer, and user. Producers, individuals or organisations supplying the contact data for inclusion into who is. Okay? And maintainers are data controllers, being the people who are defining the data to be collected, requiring its release or governing its use. And data processors are the individuals or organisations engaged in collecting, storing, releasing data. Okay, so we think that pretty much covers everything. But what we're trying to get at, get under the skin at, of, is all of the different actions that come together in maintaining, creating, and producing who is data. So I think that's... Is that the last of the definitions, please? Right. Okay. Now, in the 40 minutes that are left, we'd like to hear from you, please, what you think of our scope and our definitional work. But also, we're early stage now. And one of the things that has certainly struck me going around the different constituencies is the level of frustration amongst different areas of ICANN about what has happened to their work on WHOIS over the last 10 years or more, and a sense which I found very useful because it really bubbles up when you're speaking to people about what has been happening, how is this going to be different, and why is it that work has not carried through or has not been able to reach consensus? If you've got any insights on that, we'd be really happy to hear from you. If you'd like to point us in any key directions as our work goes forward, please tell us. So I'm going to throw the floor open. Thank you. Oh, that's us. I threw away that shirt straight afterwards.
I decided to send it.
Thank you, sir. When you take the floor, can you do the usual thing of introducing yourself and where you come from? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm Steve Metallitz. I'm the Vice President of the Intellectual Property Constituency, and I'm an attorney in Washington, D.C. I really want to raise 3 points here. One, first, just to thank all of the review team members for the time and effort you've already put into this and the increased time and effort that I'm sure you're going to be putting into it over the next year. Your job is very important, and I think everybody in the ICANN community owes you a debt of gratitude for making the time and putting the work into this. Second, with regard to the definitions that you've reached so far, I did have a couple of questions about the applicable law definition. And really, I think they fall into two areas. First, I think the last sentence of your definition, and I don't know if it can be put up there, refers to legal obligations under various the UN Declaration of Human Rights and some UN guidelines. And I would just encourage you to be careful and precise in the wording. I'm not sure that a UN guideline is a legal obligation in the sense that I'm not sure what in what country or jurisdiction it's a matter of law that you abide by the UN guidelines. These are obviously relevant to the work that you're doing, I think, but I'm not sure that that's always a legal obligation. My bigger question really about this definition is I think you, applicable, I think you've interpreted in the sense of relevant. And that is, as the chair pointed out, you've excluded lots of areas of law that may not be as directly relevant to your job or your task as these areas. But again, I think if you look at what you were asked to do in the affirmation of commitments, my recollection is ICANN has committed to administer its Who Is policy in accordance with applicable laws. That doesn't just mean relevant laws. That means laws that apply to ICANN. And I'm wondering whether this definition of applicable law may be somewhat too broad if it suggests that ICANN has to obey any and all local and national laws in a certain subject matter area. While it is narrower than it might be, it's still a very broad category. So I would just encourage you to look at that. And finally, also in relation to that, I hope that one aspect of ICANN Who Is policy that you will look at is the procedure that was adopted several years ago to enable any accredited registrar or a registry, any contracted party, to come to ICANN and bring to its attention any circumstance in which it thought that it was threatened with some type of legal liability for carrying out its contractual obligations with regard to Who Is. So that's the mechanism that's been adopted by the community unanimously in the GNSO count, in the GNSO, or maybe it was the DNSO at that point, to try to manage these situations. So I hope you will, as part of ICANN policy, you will take a look at how that has functioned, and that may help refine the adjective here of applicable laws, because it may tell you in what circumstances have there appeared to be a conflict between the contractual obligations and laws that a registry or registrar anyway thought were applicable to it. That is not necessarily the same as ICANN's commitment to carry out its responsibilities in conformance with applicable law. But again, thank you, and I'll just reiterate that we appreciate all your work, and I know my constituency is very eager to contribute to the work of the review team. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those thoughtful comments. Please, if any members of the team want to come in, do so.
Steve, very good comments. It's actually, we've had a lot of conversation about law and applicable law. One of the things that I think we have, certainly I, and I'm not really trying to speak for the team other than my sort of subjective analysis of where we've gotten to, is that, and then also conversations with the people who developed the AOC, and specifically around applicable laws, it was pretty clear that data protection and privacy was one of the key things they meant in that phrase. So as a legal contract, or as a covenant promise that ICANN is making, we could look at this very, very much like a contract, and we would say, it's applicable laws, and let's have, right, all laws might apply, or they might not, or it's just these laws. We're trying to tease out what actually was meant in that very terse language. And we believe this is about as close as we can get. We're going to take your comments clearly into account, but just wanted to let folks know that it really was data protection and privacy that was largely intended under that phrase. And so that's why we went in this direction. We believe there are lots of other laws that in fact do apply. Okay, but the purpose of this review, that's really what was meant. You know, is ICANN doing the right thing, kind of thing?
Thank you very much, Bill. I've got Lutz and Michael who want to come in, and then I'm going to ask for more questions. But Steve, can I just say thank you very much, and also I'd encourage you to make written contributions if you're not intending to do so already. And if you can make any suggestions to us, we'd be very grateful to receive them. Thank you.
I'd like to take the chance to point to a special phrase here, personally identifiable information. What does it mean? It's a very broad term. It means that we have information where you have to ask somebody else in order to find out a person. It's an indirect definition here. So it's a very broad definition on what's personally identified. It's not personal information. It's information that might be lead to a personal identification.
Okay, very briefly, I was part of the sub-team that developed this definition, and I would like to clarify that, yes, first of all, this definition is something for the public comment, and if there is something wrong, it should be corrected. Of course, it will be corrected, and we're very thankful for any assistance and criticism. Second, the personal data protection laws, privacy laws in general, yes, we consider them critical and most relevant to the tasks that our review team should fulfill, because whose information is mostly relates with that. And third, there are many laws in different countries, and there is a possibility that there are also certain contradictions, collisions, conflicts of laws, and that is why there is a reference to the certain internationally recognized instruments, for example, United Nations documents, which show that if a certain country is a part of such United Nations-based conventions, it means that at least personal data protection laws should somehow be compliant with the internationally recognized rules, and that is why, yes, such legislation should be applicable as well to WHOIS issues. So this was the initial idea. Thank you.
Yeah, just trying to follow up on this discussion, and that's, again, my personal position here and my personal point of view. The deeper we dig into this thing, the more obvious it becomes for me that our mandate does include sort of non-reconcilable things that don't fit together. Like, if you look at the introductory paragraph, there is sort of this stipulation that data has to be accurate, publicly accessible, 24/7/365. And at the same time, we are asked or we are expected to sort of respect privacy stuff and that sort of things. And ICANN, with this respect, is not the only environment where this collision of interests and this denial of reality becomes apparent. So I think if any one of you has a personal or organizational point of view, we would be very glad to receive input on this issue. Thank you. Back to Emily.
Thank you very much. Are there any more questions from the floor? Thank you. So got one here and then Wendy.
Hi, I'm Kathy Gellis. I am a cyber lawyer in the area. I'm here in my own accord. If we could see the slide on law enforcement, this may be ground that you've covered, but the concern comes to mind in the definition and how it plays out in the policy. Is there a presumption about the legitimacy of law enforcement if we think that what the police want to do is exactly what civil society commands and wants the police to do? That's great, but we've seen some very tangible examples in the last 2 months of law enforcement not acting with the legitimacy we might expect from democracies, free societies that value free speech. So the concern to raise, and if there's something to say for how it's been considered so far, is to make sure, is to deal with that difference where just because it's law enforcement, sometimes it's the bad guys who are actually the good guys, and how do these policies protect those people?
Yeah. I think I'll take that one. It's a very good question, and in fact, you're anticipating our future work. I'm not trying to avoid answering, but this is just the definition of law enforcement. We haven't gotten to the definition of the broader phrase, legitimate needs of law enforcement. So feel free to to share comments with us, because that is indeed our next step. But it's a very important issue. It's a very timely issue, and of course, we spent a lot of time around the table talking about it as well.
Thank you.
Wait, Wendy. I'm sorry. Litz wanted to comment.
As a member of the law enforcement definition team, I'd like, first of all, personally, I'm with you. Law enforcement are the bad guys. Okay. I'd like to make sure that you understand the definition here. It says that it's an entity authorized by government. That means that it's not necessarily a body of a government. It might be an organization which has an obligation from the government by a law, by an edict or something else. If you are knowing the European context, it means that a private corporation like Jugendschutz.net falls in this definition here. And the other part is maintenance, coordination, and enforcement. We are talking about law enforcement, so you might ask the question why there is more than enforcement. Maintenance and coordination, that means there are regulation authorities. This might be not part of the executives, might be part of the legislation part of the government. So please make sure that you understand these extensions over the classical law enforcement.
Thank you. Wendy?
Thank you. Wendy Seltzer, a member of the non-commercial users constituency and a long-time participant in WHOIS discussions around ICANN. In fact, it was privacy issues in for domain name registrants that first got me involved in the policy side discussions probably 10 years ago. So with that sort of caution, I would urge you to narrow definitions as much as possible to keep the review achievably scoped because there have been lots of these discussions going on and it could encompass far too much to gather reasonably. One specific issue that's come up in a number of contexts recently around ICANN, the question of consumer trust seems to be a particularly sticky one that could encompass lots more than the organization is properly suited to handle. And trying to address all of the different parties whom consumers might place trust in and all of the ways in which trust could be interpreted seems just way beyond the scope of WHOIS. So if we can look at that narrowly, what does the consumer of a domain name trust when entering information in order to register a domain? That might be one way to cabin that discussion.
Thank you. I'm sure that members of the review team will want to respond to that, but thank you for that advice to us.
Thank you, Wendy. And I think our discussions so far in the group are exactly what you said, that consumer trust is a very large subject. But, you know, again, looking at what we're charged to do in the affirmation of commitments, we're specifically tasked with looking at whether or not the effectiveness of the policy implementation promotes consumer trust. So one way or another, we're going to have to wrestle this to the ground. But I appreciate your comment that this is going to be challenging.
James?
Yeah, thank you, Wendy. And for a second, I thought you were going to let some of us get off easy. We were going to talk about law enforcement and applicable laws and not get into the consumers and consumer trust issue. You're right. This is popping up everywhere, not just this review team, but it was also a flavor of it was on the affirmation or the ATRT review team, and I think that the government advisory, when they're not talking about new GTLDs and scorecards, are also talking about things like consumer trust and public interest. So there's some big, you know, elephants in the room that we're trying to wrestle down, and I think that
The fact that you picked up on that right away is probably evidence of you've been down this road before and you know this neighborhood very well. So, you know, for that and for, you know, your guidance, and I think that Liz, you know, is one of the staff members that's helping us, and I know that we have some folks here. And for anyone in the community who says, boy, this is starting to sound familiar from 2003 and 2004, I remember we were wrestling with these issues. We definitely want to hear your thoughts on where you think we could go right this time, as well as I think I've been a proponent on the group, just personally, in keeping the definitions narrow. While it feels like we may be excluding interests or excluding considerations, I think it's important to have something meaningful come out of this group. And the wider a net we cast, the more we water down the recommendations. So I've been doing, I think, exactly what you're saying, which is keeping it narrow so that we can maintain the impact.
I've got Kathy Kleiman and then Bill Smith, and then we'd like to take another question.
Just as with law enforcement, we're now looking at the broader term legitimate needs of law enforcement as our next step. Similarly with consumer, we're now moving into consumer trust. So even though it's not a specific part of our comments of what do you think about consumer trust, because we haven't put it out there, to the extent you want to inform our debates and share what's going on in other parts of ICANN, share the thinking, please do. If you're involved in this issue, if you have thoughts on this issue, let us know. The timing would be perfect on that.
Sure. So, in full disclosure, I am an advocate for consumer and consumer trust, for the definition to be writ large. And my reasoning on this is there are parts of the DNS, both the protocols, implementations, et cetera, that play a role in consumer trust. And the AOC says to basically our job is to review how or to what extent who is its implementation policy, et cetera, enhances consumer trust. It doesn't say, you know, it's entirely responsible for it, but how it plays a part in consumer trust. And from my perspective, consumer trust is in the large. And if we don't talk about how things we do within DNS and things like it in the small, right, very narrowly focused in what we are doing, then it's impossible to enhance consumer trust in the large. If everyone takes the same approach, right, and says, well, it's not our responsibility to worry about consumer trust for the broad class of consumers. If we don't do that here, it isn't done at the ITF, it isn't done at the IGF or any other place dealing with the internet, then it never will be dealt with.
Hi, I'm Susan from Facebook. And we definitely have a divide in the group over this definition, and that's why we put out the two definitions. I am definitely on the side of the broader definition of this. We have approximately 2 billion internet users. If we took the subset of that, the number, which I would be guessing, how many registrants we have, how many registries, registrars, and individuals who look up the who is and only made this definition to fit that narrow definition, we'd really be losing and not doing our job. So I'm definitely in that group that thinks this should be a very broad. We have a lot of internet issues. Facebook's a famous brand. If somebody infringes our brand, we, you know, it could be harmful. We'll overcome that. But a user who relies on a fake Facebook website and gives away important private information may not be able to come back from that. So this is really about protecting the users of the internet.
I'd like to come back to the question of width of definition from a slightly different angle. If you look at the mandate to the review team as it is written down, you might be inclined to expect us to come up with a binary answer, yes or no. sort of assess the effectiveness. My personal point of view on this one is that we may come to the conclusion that this review team can issue a small or a slightly larger set of recommendations to the board. But from my personal point of view, I think it is even more interesting or equally interesting to come up or to uncover those things where there are loopholes or where there is a lack of definition, where there are inconsistencies. And from that point of view, I would rather support the members here on the team which support a broader definition, not because we want to solve all of the open questions in the universe and being 42, but to help us actually map out what the problem space is. And I would feel pretty comfortable if at the end, towards the deadline to submit the report, we just come up with a list of things where we openly state, we have identified this, this might warrant further work, further investigation. We didn't have the resources, we didn't have the time to actually dive into those, but community at large, ICANN board, just have a look at that set of issues and then have a public discussion of how to deal with those.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning. My name is John Berard, and what I think is most relevant is that I was a founding member of the Board of Trustees back in 1997. And the subjective nature of this is quite interesting because it was in 96, 97 when Esther Dyson was working on both ICANN and online privacy that tree split, and I followed her on the privacy side. And now we seem to be putting the two back together, so probably some credit should go to Esther. But you do not have to start from scratch on the discussion about personally identifiable information, the applicable laws, the approaches. There's a rich history, and I would encourage you to reach out to at least the International Association of Privacy Professionals. And, in fact, Susan and Bill have counterparts inside their companies who are actively involved in that. Based upon what Larry Strickling said at the opening session, I suspect that it is going to be impossible to do anything other than write a large definition of consumer, because the role that the Internet writ large has played on privacy writ large. And the only other bit that I would offer is that it's really hard to identify the things that comprise trust, because it's a complex organism that speaks to, do I keep my promises? Do I deliver over time? Is there value in what I'm offering? So that a consumer, however you define it, can have confidence that the engagement is not going to hurt them. But what is more easily measured is harm. So when something is done that intrudes upon the consumer's trust. And again, my feeling is you don't have to start from scratch. There are places you can go to get real smart, real fast, especially when it comes to the fact that there are 191 nations on the planet. They all have data protection laws and regulations. Well, if they don't, then they have mores. And the Internet is trying to operate individually around all of those differences. So I don't envy your task, which is why I'm in the audience and not there. But I guess I just want to say you don't have to go it alone.
Thank you very much. Lynn?
Thank you so much, John. I would like to acknowledge to you that I'm a member of IPP. And a few years ago, I took the step to obtain their certification as a CIPP. And also, I have partnered with a trustee, so I just want to say that in helping to found that organization, trustee has done so much as a privacy leader on online privacy. But I do hope to bring some of those resources from the IPP to the thinking of this group. Thank you.
Thank you. There's a lady up the back. Did you want the floor? I didn't know whether you...
US Federal Trade Commission.
Okay. I think this one works.
Good morning. My name is Chandra Watson, but I'm speaking here in my personal capacity. I just, I think I was struck by the narrowness of the definition of applicable laws. And I noticed that it focuses, I think, basically on privacy laws, data protection laws, which I think is very important on consideration. But I wonder if we only focus on that set of laws, if we're sort of not comprehensively looking at the issue, because there may be other laws that bear on that. For example, there might be separate laws that are not necessarily classified as data protection laws that might require disclosure of identifying information if that person is acting in a commercial capacity. And so there are other laws that I think bear on these privacy issues, and if you only look at this set of laws, you're not necessarily focusing even comprehensively on the issue of privacy. So, thank you.
I know Michael has already spoken earlier, and I did work with Michael and Kim Von Arks, who was not able to attend, on this applicable law. And in our call for public comment, you know, what we would really appreciate, and I'll share with you some of the discussions we had, is that we agreed that there are other types of law that might be appropriate to consider in our review, and we struggled with how to do the wording, you know, because we don't feel like we're in a position to just try and list, you know, including all these types of laws. So, for example, contractual law might be applicable. Just as one example, we thought of several others, but we're trying to figure out a way to focus our work, and yet during the course of our work, if some point comes up that is about law and it's applicable to who is and to ICANN, our informal agreement is that we would not exclude that in any way, but I don't know that the way we've written it really indicates that. So even if you can just help us with wording that, it would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you. My name's Marie Kutravi, and I have, it's my first time at ICANN, but I'm a long time IETF participant working on standards in this area. I'd like to ask a quick question to make sure that my comment is in scope, and that is, can this board, will this group eventually make technological recommendations, or is this strictly policy?
We're looking at the policy and its implementation, and you know, as an
implementation can lead to technology, right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
So, you know, please just go ahead.
All right. I guess my comment then has to do with the definition of trust. Not only do consumers need to be able to trust the information that WHOIS returns, but also its availability and our ability to use the information, because it is non-standard in some ways and freeform in other ways. It's very hard to use it. In a lot of, a single law enforcement query to get who owns this is interesting, but a piece of software can't go to WHOIS necessarily and get the registration date for a domain or even for an IP, a block of IP addresses. The system is simply not standard form or resilient enough to be useful and therefore trustable by a lot of constituents. And if this group can make recommendations to improve on that, I think that would be hugely valuable. I'm planning to be in the technical session having to do with WHOIS this afternoon to talk hopefully about IRIS and some of the follow-ons to the current technologies. But I would really like to see that come out of this or somebody that can make that can influence that. I think that's extremely important.
But just to note, of course, that we're not making policy. We can make recommendations that hopefully may lead to, you know, some additional focus or direction or something like that. But we understand, at least I do, having now gone to both technical and policy meetings, that there's a chasm there. And one thing we haven't talked about it yet is maybe there's an issue of bridging that chasm. So to the extent you can comment on that, that would be great. But also, you know, it's really hard to design a protocol if the community hasn't decided what its requirements are. So I'm sympathetic.
Just quick. I think to follow on Wilfred's point, though, if this is something strong you feel strongly about, this might be something that some of us of a more technical bent might choose to throw in at some point to say, hey, we, you know, here's something we heard, we think about. we don't have any idea how to deal with it necessarily, or we know how you might, but somebody might want to think about this.
If I can follow up for just a second. Another group that I participate in is MOG, which I know PayPal is involved in, and a lot of them talk about this whois thing, but I'm not sure that they've brought it to ICANN before. So maybe I can be a conduit for that information to you guys.
Good morning. My name is Scott Austin. I'm an attorney with Gordon & Reese LLP, but I've served on a vertical integration working group with CAFI, and also a member of we're a member of INTA. But my interest is in, and I got in here a little bit late to see this morning because of another meeting, so I was wondering, perhaps it's already been discussed, but with the internationalized domain names, will the whois for those be available in English? Will it be available in multiple languages, or will you have to learn the various characters for the native, for the owner?
No, we haven't discussed that yet, and thank you for raising it. I'm going to just give the floor to Samad Hussein from our team to respond.
So this is a review process. So what we're doing is looking backwards. And there were actually no internationalized domain names looking backwards. There are going to be internationalized domain names in the future. So obviously that's a need which is very legitimate. And so one of the things which we are very consciously going to do is we are going to go and get some user feedback from communities which are non-ASCII and see in the context, so few years ago or how they've been using whois, what have been the issues with them as far as language barriers are concerned. So we will actually document user concerns, users' needs, But we will probably, so it's not something which is going to be evaluating the internationalization of whois from a protocol perspective.
Yeah. I've got one more question from the floor. I know James wants to come back on that.
Hi, Owen Smigelski.
Yeah, just very quickly, and just to follow up on what Dr. Hussein was saying, we did touch on this, particularly in our assessment of existing obligations, the idea of IDN character sets and what that means for registries and registrars and their obligations that are spelled out mostly in ASCII. So, but I think that like the other review teams and like the ATRT, we're going to have to leave breadcrumbs for the next round of this. In some of these cases, we're going to have to look backwards, not forwards, and then the next whois review team is going to have to build on what we're, the foundation that we're laying. So that's definitely an area where we want to, point them, the next, our successors in that direction. And with that, I'm sorry, I do have another panel at noon that I have to leave. Thank
you. Go ahead, sir.
We're cloning James and other people.
Hi, Owen Smigelski, and I'm on the Internationalized Data Registration Working Group with Steve over there. I just want to respond to, there's actually a session tomorrow at 9 a.m. About this very topic.
There's also a technical whois. Does anybody have the details on that? 4 o'clock today?
Yep, 4 o'clock.
Technical whois session at 4 o'clock today.
Now, I'm being told that's, we're timed out now, our session. If there are any, I'd just like to close to say thank you very much for your attention. Thank you for your thoughtful inputs and to encourage you to make written comments to the call for comment. That will really help our work and help shape our work at this early stage. Thank you all very much.
April 17th, it closes. Thanks.